Okay, thank you, John. Okay, let's do that again. Welcome to our regular village board meeting. It's 7 o'clock on January 10th. If I can ask the clerk, that's a million miles away, if you could please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis. Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. Okay, if I can ask everyone to stand, please, to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. All right, we have one public comment. I don't think there's any, John, up on the podium. Okay, Margie, you're our only public comment, so I'll give you the floor if you want. Or
thank you.
Okay.
Do you want me to start now?
Yes, please.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you. I have some questions on the floodplain ordinance update that you, the trustees, are on the agenda for our trustees to vote tonight. I think basically we need more information to better understand the nature of these changes and the impact to residents. Is this proposal to revert to the pre-April 2019 SMO floodplain management requirements and not include the MWRD changes since then? What are the floodplain requirements that were removed and left to municipalities that Jeff Loester's memo mentions? What are the key changes in the impact to residents, especially those who own property in the floodplain? And what are we gaining? What are we losing? Why isn't MWRD implementing the NFIP, National Flood Insurance Program, changes? And who is the consultant in April 2019 who updated the changes to the MWRD but not included the NFIP requirements? What happens to the additional local amendments that were adopted back in April of 2019? The properties in the floodplain in River Forest are in zones AH or AE, which is a different designation than we was in existence when we moved here in 1996. I've read online that flood insurance is now mandated in those designations. Is that true? I feel like the trustees need more dialogue than just having this item in a consent agenda, and I welcome hearing that. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak.
Okay, Margie, yeah, and we'll be happy to do that. Jeff can answer, I think, all those questions. I think we'll wait until we'll pull it out of the consent agenda. I think it's appropriate. So, Jeff, you could address, if that's okay with the trustees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thank you. Okay, that's it for our public comment. I'll go ahead and ask for elected official comments. So we'll start with Trustee O'Connell, if that's okay.
Yeah, nothing. Happy New Year.
Okay.
Kind of the quiet time of the year, so hopefully it stays quiet. I hope everybody stays safe. Gets a little salt on their sidewalks,
yeah.
For the benefit of the walkers that are out there every morning. So, but other than that, that's all I've got. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Yep, keep reminding everyone to salt their sidewalks. If you can find salt, that's the problem. Trustee Johnson, Happy New Year.
Also say Happy New Year. I really don't have much to say because the year just started. However, I will say I did have the opportunity to tour the Priory property that Fenwick is in the process of purchasing. And, you know, they have a lot of good ideas. It's still in process. But I will say that one thing that I wanted to just get across is that they do expect to use it like a community property and continue with the working with the park district and everything to ensure that, you know, those who want to use the land can. So I was happy to hear that.
That's great. We've got Mike Grant, who is on Zoom with us. He is the park district elected official. Welcome, Mike. And also the village liaison to us. So it's good to hear that the park district is, you know, part of those at least collaborative discussions. So thanks. Trustee Brennan?
Yep. Thank you. I have a couple things. First, I wanted to mention again that Dominican University is putting on two events starting this month. The first on January 18th, which is the National Day of Racial Healing. They have a day-long series of events, and some of them are only limited to Dominican students and to particular segments of, affiliated with the university, but some are open to anyone from the village, and they're remote. They have a very interesting keynote speaker. And thank you, John. I think you put it on the village calendar already. So if you're interested, go on the village calendar and click on January 18th. The other event that they have is a six-month white accountability group, which is either meeting once or twice a month. I'm not sure that I have that nailed down. It's free, and it begins on January 31st, and they're still taking people who are interested in signing up. So that should also be on the village website, I believe, on the village calendar. Do you have it under January 31st, or how do people find it? It's a news item. Okay, great. So thanks for that. We had our TRHT meeting today and talked about those items. And then I wanted to mention something else. It's not particular to River Forest, but it is particular to a former resident of River Forest, and that is there's a really neat art installation coming to downtown Chicago, to the Wrigley Building, called the Plastic Bag Store. And it was brought to River Forest by Julie Moeller, who used to live here and was one of the co-founders or starters of our Sustainability Commission. It's coming from January 20th to 30th. And it is a very interesting art installation, having very witty and thought-provoking. It's in collaboration with the Chicago Puppet Theater Festival. So, John, you can tell me whether that's appropriate to go on the village website as well. It's somewhat related to River Forest.
We could throw it out there for Julie. Yeah.
And or maybe the Sustainability Commission can put it on their page on the website.
Yeah, that's John.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we can cross-pollinate it there. And then the third thing I wanted to mention is something really interesting that I found out this week, and that is that Illinois has a new-ish smoke alarm law that goes into effect the end of this year, so January 1st, 2023. And all of us are going to be having, well, unless we already have this new kind of smoke alarm that has the battery built in and you can't take it out, so you don't get the chirping and you don't have to go up on the ladder and change it, we're all going to be changing our smoke alarms. And the interesting thing I learned was that our smoke alarms all have a small degree of radioactivity. So they should not be going in the landfill, and they should not be going in recycling. So where do they go? Well, there's a group called Scarce out of Addison, Lombard area that's working on helping us get rid of our old smoke alarms safely. And, you know, when you think about this rule coming into effect on the 1st of next year, there are going to be a lot of smoke alarms that are the people need to get rid of. And I'd like us to get ahead of this. And I'd like to ask the Sustainability Commission to do some research into what we can offer to villagers so that we don't put our radioactive smoke alarms into the landfill and recycling.
Yeah. We can certainly talk to the Sustainability, I mean, it's not your job, but I mean, yeah.
I'm looking at Lisa because you're the liaison, yeah. That's all.
And then our new fire chief and Kevin can help us out as well. Hi, Kevin.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Right. It's a good law.
Yeah, good law.
It is.
Yeah. It's going to be a massive change.
That's all I have. Thank you.
All right, Katie. Thank you. Clerk, anything?
Nothing to add. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, John. Trustee Dasgos?
Just hopefully everyone had a safe and healthy holiday season. Neither one of my committees met over the holidays, so that's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. So, before I forget, you're the collaborator. You're going to get together with the collaboration committee, Barbara?
Correct. Okay. That is correct.
And so, Mike, that's what I told Mike. Mike Grant is going to be representing the Park District.
So. Correct.
Okay.
So, I'll be serving in that too. And I think we're scheduling something January the 19th, I think. So, okay.
Is that the different taxing bodies?
Yes.
Together?
Yes.
Yeah. Hello. Hickey from D90 is hosting, is hosting it and leading it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Trustee Gillis?
I have nothing other than to say Happy New Year. And if you don't have sand, if you don't have salt, you can try sand. So that's what we ended up putting in our yard to try to work this.
Just anywhere?
Yeah, you can buy it at Lowe's.
At Hardware?
You can buy it at a lot of different places. And in fact, actually, salt won't necessarily work at very low temperatures. So if you can't find salt, use sand. Okay. We're all getting very smart about ice and how to get rid of it. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Trustee Bachner?
So I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, the Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native peoples, stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Happy New Year to everyone. And not too much to say, except just everyone, please be careful of the ice and take your time getting to places. If you're late, it's not, nothing is as important as getting into a crash or hurting yourself. So take your time with that. And that's it.
Okay. Thanks. And it's a great reminder. Yeah. Okay. I have not much, just I think one thing. I had a conversation with Dr. Russell Dawn from Concordia, who's the president of Concordia. We talked briefly with you, Rez, and Brian, or Elise at the time. Right. And we talked about the track. And they have some other developments that they want to do within the Concordia over the year, next year. But I'm happy to report that the Concordia University will continue to open their track to everyone, just not River Forest, but all neighbors and all communities. They're going to be more transparent with their time in terms of the time that they're open. I know there's been some difficulty because sometimes they would close it when it was supposed to be open because they needed use it for their athletic department. They also indicated that they would have longer hours during the summer for our communities. So I was very pleased to hear that our meeting indicating that this was an important thing to our community, that we continue to open that track to not just River Forest, but all our communities, and they agreed. So real happy about that, but more to come. We'll work with you, Brian, and John to make sure that we get that information out. It's gonna be closed during the winter, open in the spring, but we need to get all that information together with Dr. Dawn and then, their marketing department, and then we'll get it out on our website and in our newsletter so our residents and our surrounding communities know. That's about all I had. I don't have anything more to report. Just Happy New Year to everyone. So we'll move on to our hearing. I gotta read this. Our public hearing. So I will, I guess, call the public hearing to order. Is there anything that we need to do other than call it to order, right?
There's actually...
And then review the agenda. And is that the clerk can...
There's a statement that I'm supposed to read.
But when we call it, we don't have to...
A motion and a second and a vote.
No, I don't think so. I just think we just public. Okay. So I'm hereby calling the public meeting to order.
Okay. Now I read the statement. Thank you. My apologies. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This hearing will come to order. Let the record reflect that this is a public hearing being held pursuant to the requirements of Sections 10 and 20 of the Bond Issue Notification Act of the State of Illinois as amended. Notice of this hearing was published on December 29, 2021 in the Wednesday Journal, a newspaper of general circulation in the village. This is a hearing regarding a plan to issue not to exceed $550,000 in aggregate principal amount of the village's bonds. The proceeds of the bonds will be used to pay for one, public infrastructure projects within the village, and two, certain costs of issuance of the bonds. The bonds will be issued by the village in accordance with the provisions of Section 15 of the Local Government Debt Reform Act of the State of Illinois, as amended, and shall constitute a general obligation of the village, payable from one non-referendum bond proceeds in accordance with the provisions of Section 8-5-16 of the Municipal Code, which shall not exceed 0.5% of the assessed value of all taxable property located within the village. This is a public hearing required by Sections 10 and 20 of the Bond Issue Notification Act of the State of Illinois, as amended. At the time and place set for the public hearing, residents, taxpayers, and other interested persons will be given the opportunity to express their views for or against the proposed plan of financing, the issuance of the bonds, and the purpose of the issuance of the bonds. Is there anyone that wishes to make any comment?
Any comments from the public or from the trustees regarding this bond issuance? I don't have any, so hearing none, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on this subject. Okay, so we're gonna move on to our consent agenda. We will pull item D so we can address Margie's questions. And we're gonna pull
F
so we can, unfortunately, because we didn't separate out the McDonald's cost that's included. So for you, Bob, sorry, Brian's new, so we'll get that right next time. So if I can get a motion to approve A through
Kathy, could I just ask if we could pull item C as well?
Sure, no worries. So we'll need A, B, E, and G.
I don't think it's A. Is it A, the minutes?
A, yeah. B, D. You need A, B,
D,
E, and G.
D as in dog.
Oh, D, I'm pulling.
D.
Yeah. C, oh, I see. D, okay, and F are being pulled. Reverse. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Right.
So A, B, E, and G.
I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A, B, E, and G.
Second. Okay. Any questions on those? Any comments? Okay, hearing none. If I can ask the clerk to take the vote and then read out the consent agenda items for approval.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, December 13th, 2021. B, approve a change order in the amount of $21,215.31 for the construction of the 2021 Street Improvement Project Resolution. E, monthly department reports. G, village administrator's report. Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Okay, so let's take each of these separately then. If we can get a motion to approve C, consent item C.
I move we approve consent agenda item C.
Okay, second, anybody?
Second.
Okay, all right, so questions?
Yes, so I had two questions about this item. It wasn't initially clear to me what kind of cameras we were talking about installing when I read this item in the packet. I since had a conversation with Brian Murphy about it, and he gave me additional information that helped me understand that they're permanent surveillance and security cameras. They're not the movable type. And then my second question was a question that I've heard from residents about other items that are in the consent agenda, and that is, why aren't we going out to bid for this? And Brian explained to me also the reason why, but I thought it would be good to get it on the record because I know that there are residents that listen to our meetings, either live or the recordings, and they don't understand why we're not going out to bid for some things.
Really? Well, we'd be happy to answer those.
Absolutely. So go ahead. I'll ask.
Yeah. I mean, I never hear any of that. Go ahead.
Jim. Yes, thank you. The item that's under item C for approval tonight are the street camera systems. And as you know, the village has had street cameras The planning stage started, I believe, in 2008, and installation started in about 2010 with TIF funding along the Lake Street corridor, helping to get that program up and going. Initially, the software and hardware used was under the proprietary company called Milestone, which a form of that is still in business today. A number of years ago, after working with District 90, and they had switched from Milestone to a company called Avigilon. At the time, Eric Pond, the chief of police, and others looked at being able to share those platforms so we could offer additional safety to our students and teachers at the schools. And so a decision was made to move to the Avigilon platform. That platform is very proprietary, very unique within the industry itself. And I believe John Pape at one time called out that we wanted to see what vendors handle in the area so we can get some competitive bids. Amazingly, they sent someone out from the corporate side that rounded us back to the vendor we had started using, which was Griffin Technologies, whose information is contained within the packet this evening. There is no competition amongst anyone that sells Avigilon. The prices are the prices. And at the same time, a couple years ago, after the strategic study to the expand the street camera program was done through our IT group, Griffin Technologies was recommended to be brought on for maintenance, annual maintenance, and general upgrades and consulting to our existing program. So they have become a sole source over the years, and to bring in someone else to handle products and technology that they're not used to and are not certified to do so would also void warranties and cause other issues for a system that's just been amazing across the board for every one of our disciplines within the village itself.
Perfect, thanks.
Thanks, Chief.
Was that it?
Yeah, that was great.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, any other questions or concerns on this item? Okay, then I've asked the clerk to read it out loud and then take the vote.
Consent agenda C, waiver of formal bid, single source vendor, and award of contract to Griffin Systems in the amount of $94,000 for the purchase and installation of street cameras and related hardware and software. Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so let's go to item D. If I can get a motion to move D in a second.
I move to approve the consent agenda D.
Second.
Okay, great. Okay, so I'll ask Jeff to please take the podium, answer any questions, and then, of course, answer Margie's questions, please.
Sure. So the adoption here before you tonight is not a, attempt to change regulations in any way, shape, or form. This is a necessary evil in making sure we're compliant with state requirements and the CRS program. CRS is a program, it stands for Community Ratings System. It's run through, Ms. Sikander mentioned, the NFIP, the National Flood Insurance Program. This is all through FEMA. It's a system in which municipalities such as River Forest can choose to adopt certain regulations related to floodplain management. Because this is run through FEMA, the goal is to make sure everybody is building responsibly within the floodplain. And so we participate in that program. We have done so, I believe, since 2011 or 2012, right before I got here. We've continued to do that every year since then. Because we adopt the regulations that we do through this CRS program, residents who have flood coverage receive a small discount on their premium every year. As we do better and we make our restrictions more restrictive, they get a higher discount. So it's proportionate to the efforts that the village makes and the regulations that it enacts. We have, as I mentioned, been a part of this program since 2011 or 2012, I believe. We've enforced the regulations, the bare minimum CRS regulations, since that time. Our ordinance before the 2019 update didn't have a lot of that language in there, but we were enforcing it through the CRS requirements that we had. When we updated in 2019, the goal at the time was to become more streamlined with the MWRD's new stormwater management ordinance. Mm. To make it as streamlined as possible, we adopted a lot of their language just by reference. That way, as they change things, we change things automatically without having to come to the board each time. Unfortunately, in this particular case, they dropped the language that relates to this. They did so because my understanding in digging into it a little bit is that municipalities were then using the MWRD to enforce these regulations, and that's not what the MWRD was intending to do. So they kind of backed out of that language. And so now those of us that have adopted that language by reference just need to put it on our own books as a local amendment, essentially. So that's what we're doing here tonight. Again, not trying to make anything more restrictive, less restrictive, just kind of more of an administrative putting the regulations back on our books as a local amendment to the MWRD ordinance. To rifle through a few of the questions that Ms. Sikander had mentioned, the consultant was Engineering Resource Associates. They did the work for us in 2019 for the update, and we had them look at this new language that we got from the state here for this adoption as well. The MWRD, they're not a municipality, so they're not obligated, or technically neither are we, in terms of joining the NFIP's Community Ratings System program. They don't have to, and so they're able to take that language out. Technically, the Village of River Forest could take that language out of our ordinance as well. It's just not something that we've really discussed since we joined the program back in 2011 or 2012. Again, no real effective changes here, as we've been enforcing these restrictions for the better part of a decade here. And that's about all I've got written down. Are there any additional questions? I'd be happy to answer them.
Go ahead, Kate.
Yeah, I have a quick question. Does this change our permitting at all? This regulation deals with floodplain development permitting. Do we now do that permitting in-house, whereas it had been done at MWRD?
So no, to answer your question, that won't change anything. No, is the short answer. We would still continue to review development within the floodplain the same way. At times, if things really escalate to a very technical review, sometimes we'll use a consultant to help us perform a review. But that has no bearing, or has no change. There's no change in that process based on MWRD's language, our language, or anything. Our process is consistent from prior to the 2019 update through today. That won't change any of that.
So they just simply opted out on certain languages because they didn't want to apply the resources to it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And again, they're not, you know, to have to go enforce that in all the municipalities under the MWRD umbrella would be a lot for them. So they just kind of backed out of that.
They're not saying that this piece of legislation or a piece of the ordinance isn't wanted. They're highly recommending it, if not
required. Frankly, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources gave us the language and said, you're out of compliance with the state, so right. This is kind of not an option. We need to adopt this.
Right.
And again, it's not any more restrictive or less restrictive than what we had before. We're just coming back into compliance.
Right.
So out of curiosity, because the MWRD has opted out of this and changing this kind of language, how often do you expect to see us changing this?
Sure, fair question. Not frequently. The attempt at the time was to streamline our process, right? So that when MWRD does tweak things here and there, we don't have to keep coming back to the board. This one went the other way on us because they made theirs less restrictive. So in a lot of cases, they could move a lot of other, you know, needles in a less restrictive manner. And as long as the state isn't involved in those particular criteria, we don't have to do anything as long as we're on board with that change. In this particular case, the state has some skin in the game, and so it became a different beast. So I don't anticipate a lot of changes. I really don't. The MWRD has made several changes over their last 2 or 3 years to their updated ordinance, the overwhelming majority of which, you know, haven't done anything to the village's ordinance. So this is just a really rare occurrence, I think, that we shouldn't have to revisit anytime soon.
Okay, and another question then too. Thank you for that. So we don't have to participate, but I'm sure, like, as a good municipality neighbor, we would want to be able to do that. For residents who own homes, and sort of remembering when I was buying a home too, maybe the real estate person can answer this too, but I feel like often we're told that like we have to disclose if we're in a floodplain area or whatever. And so how, does this change any of that? Or if we weren't a part of this program, would we not have that?
No, that won't change any of that. The floodplain designation, the limits of the floodplain, the limits of the floodway, those are all established by FEMA, and FEMA has flood insurance rate maps that they use to delineate that. We get regular requests from potential buyers that say, I'm looking at this particular house, can you tell us, you know, is it in the floodplain, is it not in the floodplain? And so we regularly give out maps or, you know, portions of maps to show that. This won't change any of that.
Thank you.
Did I hear correctly that having this in helps reduce the flood insurance rate?
It does. We are a class 8 in that CRS program. I think that equates to a 10% discount on flood coverage policies. So if we were to withdraw from the program, that would increase 10%. If we do better, we'll continue to drop that premium for those residents.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, very good. Then I'd ask the clerk to please read out loud the consent agenda item B, and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item D, amendment to the chapter 4-12 of the River Forest Village Code regarding floodplain regulations ordinance. Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Okay, so then the last one we have is item, where is this? F.
I'm prepared to do the motion if needed.
Yep.
Is this the one for McDonald's?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're just separating the whole, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Motion to approve payment from the general fund to McDonald's Caravitis for $148.84.
No, is it on there?
No, we got to do the first one.
I got to do the first one. I'm sorry. If you don't mind, we've got the consent and then the separate one. I'm sorry,
oh, okay. That's what I was,
Erica.
Okay.
Okay. So if I can get a motion to approve the accounts payable, and then we'll go to the separate one. Yeah, it is confusing, totally confusing on this page.
I move to approve agenda item 6F.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on that? Hearing none, if I can ask the clerk to read that. And then should we do what? Because
yes.
This has the
correct.
In there.
Correct.
So we're going to correct that going forward. I don't know how we didn't catch that. So no worries.
We'll make sure it's covered.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
So I would ask the clerk to recuse me from
you.
This vote.
Okay, correct. Very good.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes. Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Gillis.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then we're done. Consent agenda is done. So I think that moves us into the last item, new business. Mm-hmm. And we have Tom on Zoom because he is in North Carolina finishing up project dealing with a dam. Tom, I don't know what you're doing over there, but I know you couldn't be here.
yes.
So,
I'm on a rescue team standby out here.
Okay, so we're going to do this remote. It'll be the first time I've ever done anything remote like this, so we'll give it a try. So tonight I'd like to introduce Tom Gerner as our new fire chief for River Forest. I think you all around the table have met Tom, so I'd like to get a motion to give advice and consent to this appointment, and then we can go ahead and vote on it and swear him in.
I'd like to make a motion to give advice and consent to the appointment of Thomas Gartner as fire chief for a term through May 12, 2025, and until his successor is appointed and has qualified.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Again, welcome, Tom. I completely understand why you're remote, and I thank you for what you're doing out in North Carolina. But welcome to River Forest, and it's my pleasure to appoint you to our new fire chief. So congratulations. So I'd ask the clerk, I guess, I don't know how we do this.
Swear him in.
Well, wait. I got to get a vote first, and then swear in. Okay. Any questions? I know all of you interviewed Tom. GovHR was our human resource organization that we used for the interviewing process. So it was an arduous and rigorous process. Welcome, Tom. So I'll ask anybody with any, if you have any questions. If not, we'll get the vote and then we'll swear you in, unless you, go ahead.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Yep. Congratulations. Okay, now we'll do your swearing in. So I guess you have to raise your right hand with the clerk here.
You ready, Tom?
Clerk Keller, just choke up just a little bit.
So yeah.
Are you ready, Tom?
Is it on?
It is on.
Oh, you just got to put it to your mouth, literally.
I feel like I'm doing a radio show.
Yeah, I can't.
After, right?
I can't hear the clerk.
Tom, can you hear me?
Well, why don't you, can come up here. Or, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the podium.
Yeah, go to the podium, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, and we're now moving John over to the podium.
Tom, can you hear me?
Okay.
All right, please repeat after me. Whenever you're ready. I, Thomas Gartner.
I, Thomas Gartner.
Having been appointed to the office of fire chief.
Having been appointed to the office of fire chief.
In the village of River Forest.
In the village of River Forest.
In the county of Cook.
In the county of Cook.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Or affirm.
Or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of the Office of Fire Chief.
The duties of the Office of Fire Chief.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Again.
I'm honored and I'm excited. Extremely. So.
Well, like I said, next time you, I know it's kind of awkward trying to do it by Zoom. So our next board meeting, we'll maybe hear a little bit from you. Just. So that the residents can, see you and hear from you. That would be great. Welcome to River Forest. We're glad you're here. Congratulations. You're going to do a phenomenal job for our community. So thank you. All right.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited. So
yep.
Thank you.
I know it's so tough.
Can I also just say thank you to the interim fire chief who's done so much work for us. Thank you very much. Really appreciate everything.
Yeah, Bob Nortier.
He's not here tonight.
But hey, Kevin, you filled in a lot too. So we do appreciate it.
A little bit.
But enough to get acknowledged. All right. Well, that's great. Really exciting. Glad those two recruits are done.
When does Tom start? When do you come in town?
It's next week, I think. You'll be in, he'll come in Wednesday. So what will happen, he'll be here Wednesday. They'll go through some of their, tell me what they're going
to
go through.
Right, there's some paperwork that Tom will need to complete, which will get taken care of when he comes back into town. And his first official day will be next week, Tuesday.
Tuesday will be your next. You'll be in full garb here in the next board meeting. Right. All right. So that concludes the. It's hard, I know.
No, I was just saying I'm looking forward to starting next week, and okay. I'm extremely thankful and excited about it. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so we do not have an executive session. This might be the quickest board meeting. I told you that, Ken.
Yeah. Make a motion to adjourn.
Wait, yeah. Before we adjourn, can I just ask? I noticed on the calendar on the village website that our February 14th meeting has been canceled.
Yeah, well, we did that because it's the 14th. I mean, we could keep it. I don't care. I think we published it just to kind of give an opportunity to the staff and all of you, given that it's the 14th of February. But we can keep it.
I just wanted to know the schedule.
Yeah. Schedule. But, okay. You know, if we need a board meeting, we certainly will call one, and we can call a special board meeting. We can do it on Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever makes sense. But we just thought to give the staff and, you know, their time with their family.
So our next meeting is the 28th of February.
No, January.
Or January. 24th of January, yeah. And then the 28th of February. Yeah,
right.
Gotcha.
That's okay. Correct. So, like I said, and if we need something in between, we will certainly do it. No worries. Okay. With that, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you. Have a good night, everyone. That's
goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Oh, no.